Welcome to Change Surfer Radio. I'm Jay Hughes, aka Dr. J, and I'll be your guide to a sexy high-tech vision of a radically democratic future. Every summer, the Insight Meditation Society, a Buddhist meditation center in Barre, Massachusetts, hosts a week-long family meditation retreat. The adult retreatants are mostly parents, and their children range in age from babies to teenagers. Most of the adults started practicing Buddhist meditation before having children and relish the opportunity to return to an intensive practice environment. But the retreat is also a remarkable opportunity for reflection on family dynamics with spacious mindfulness and patience. Parents share their joys and sorrows about parenting and talk about how to become more mindful with their peers and kids. My family and I have been able to participate in the retreat for 3 summers, and it has inspired us to incorporate more spiritual rituals into our family life. At the August 2000 family retreat, I interviewed parents about their family rituals.
Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
My name is Jamie Roberts, and I became a Buddhist in 1995. And one thing that we do every night is we have a little prayer, and it's, Dear God, please help me be kind to myself and all others. And I tried to base that on a whole metta, you know, the whole metta thing, you know. I wanted to consolidate it so that they wouldn't mind saying it every night. And they say it, they can't stand not to say it now. It's like,
do you say it in front of a shrine or just at bedtime?
No, each individually in their beds so they can have that special, you know, special time with me. And also, one thing that I do, although my daughter being older doesn't want me to do it anymore, is when they go to bed, I'll sit by their beds on, you know, on my bench and meditate while they go to sleep, which I got out of Dharma Family Treasures. So that, and then we do have a lot of Buddha statues in the house, and my son brings them flowers and stuff sometimes.
Cool. Okay, thank you.
My name is Ted, and oh my goodness, I began practicing probably 5 years ago. My wife is Susan, and my daughter is Robin. And our family rituals are few, but important to us. We have one in the evening at dinner time. We sit at our table, and before we eat, we hold hands. We say what we're grateful for. That's something we've continued doing now for over a year. It always feels really important. The last time we came to a family retreat, we started one that lasted for a few months, and that was when we were leaving in the morning. We would all say to each other, "May you be well until we meet again." And that was a really great way to start the day.
Jonathan Bricklin, my wife's Laura Martacci, my daughter Noah, who's 6, and Quincy, who's 17 months. And to me, family practice is a practice of dealing with anger and fear. And with my children, I like to work out an anger practice whereby if we start yelling at one another, someone can go get the bowl. We have a Tibetan bowl, and make a sound, and everyone then has to be silent for a minute. And then we resume from there. But it's a reminder to us to collect ourselves. It's almost like a siren, as you know, these bowls, and it just fills the room without being a crashing sound. And I like that because it has a real presence to it without having a violence of its own the way a gong might, you know.
I'm Peter Kindfield, and my wife is Ann Kindfield, and I've been practicing for about
12 years, I guess, and Anne introduced me to the practice, although I was a Buddhist reader beforehand. So Anne's been had a practice for probably like about 15 years. And I think we actually picked up the one thing that we do regularly at a retreat about 3 years ago, which is that we do a little meditation over our children when they're going to sleep. May you be peaceful, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be free from fear. Which I actually think they just realized this retreat was a metta meditation. They always referred to it as Daddy's words up until then.
They don't say it with you?
No, we say it to them.
Hi, my name is Matthew Clegan, and at home, I have a Buddha journal that I keep, and I write different things in it about like how I feel sometimes about different things and what different things mean to me, and sometimes I do meditation and yoga.
Take refuge in the Buddha, the one who shows me the way in this life. Namo Buddhaya, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Buddhaya.
I'm Jeannie. One thing we do is we always hold hands before meals. We always try to have silence before meals. And because we're Jewish, we do Shabbos on Friday nights. And sometimes, on special holidays, we'll do the Hungry Ghost chant that we often do at meditation retreats before we eat. And I can't think of any other Buddhist rituals except coming here every year, which is a wonderful ritual.
Do you have a daily practice?
I have a daily practice. Uh-huh. I sit twice a day, and sometimes my kids will join me.
Dhammam saranam gacchami.
My name is Nikki Bach, and recently we've renewed or finally come upon the a family practice that seems to be sustainable. It started sometime in the spring after I finally took down the Christmas tree and set up our Buddhist shrine again that we often have set up. And I guess one evening Tristan got interested in the shrine and just sort of spontaneously developed into lighting candles and saying some chants. And it seemed like a good way to allow the kids to fall asleep gently, especially Tristan, our younger son, who is usually bouncing off the walls at bedtime. We had tried doing some sitting after our first session at IMS, at the family retreat, tried to do some sitting, trying to sit by the bed, having the grown-ups sit by the bed, Jay and myself, while the kids tried to go to sleep, but that never didn't work very well. But this way, both kids participate. Tristan usually just curls up in my lap and falls asleep, but Thea, our daughter, sits up and joins us in chants. And last night was even quietly saying mantra. I didn't know it, but was quietly saying Om Mani Padme Hum on her mala beads, yeah. On Jay's old mala beads from high school, his first set that he got when he joined a Tibetan group. So anyway, it seems to be working.
Can I describe our dinner time rituals?
Well, at dinner, if we're not too hungry and harried, we hold hands and read from a book that we have called A Grateful Heart, which is a collection of prayerful thoughts, organized by season, actually, edited by M.J. Ryan. And then we usually go around and everyone will say something something they may be grateful for, or maybe.
Beautiful. So what are we grateful for? You want to say what you...
Blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you.
Well, do you want to chew first? And maybe Daddy can say it.
No, I don't want to say
anything. You don't want to say anything? Usually you have something to say. What do you think?
I'm grateful that Tristan and I had a nice time shopping.
Again?
Again.
We had a nice time shopping, too.
Hi, I am Steve Miller. Let's see, I've been practicing on and off for probably 15 years with my family. And one of our simple rituals is having a moment of silence and giving thanks before meals. And it takes different forms, but we usually mention sort of all the forms of life that have given themselves for our benefit. Looking at our body as a sacred mandala. May all beings without one exception have happiness and the causes of happiness. And we have...
Alalaho.
There's a little bit more of it, but we often do... we certainly do that blessing before meals.
I receive this substance gratefully.
Appreciating
all the forms of life that have offered themselves for my benefit. I eat and drink with awareness. Recognizing my body is a sacred mandala. May my actions be clear and relieve suffering. May all beings, without one exception, have happiness and the causes of happiness. Alalaho.
Old one is like, you know, thanks to the farmers and the people that grew the food, and thanks to the
and
the cooks and the preparers and all the forms of life and the earth and the sun and the rain for making this possible. And may this food not only benefit us, but benefit all beings. What we have is that when we find insects around the house, we often will try to catch them and put them outside. Mm-hmm. Spiders and ants and,
yes.
And in some way as a family, recognizing that, yes. You know, that their life is sacred as well, and that not to do harm. And
Dad.
What?
We call them our friend, you know. We got to take out our friend.
And we take them outside. We don't hurt them. We try to take them outside so they can live.
Love grows one by one, two by two, and four by four. Love grows round like a circle and comes back knocking at your front door.
My name is this close enough?
Yes.
My name is Lori, and I've been practicing for about 6 years, and I've been coming to my own retreats here for 4 years, and 4 or 5, I can't remember, and this is our third time at the family retreat. And you want me to answer your question now? Okay. Well, when I just asked Liza, my daughter, if we have any family rituals, she reminded me of one that is sort of related to meditation, and it's a bedtime routine that we have that came from the first time I came here on retreat. I was at at the women's retreat, and I came home and I told Liza how much I liked it when the Dharma teacher gave the last talk of the night, and it felt to me like she was tucking us in because there was so little talk and there was so little communication that it felt very comforting to me. And that one night, it was Narayan Levinson Grady from Cambridge, and one night she was saying goodnight to us and she said, "So sleep well and sleep well. Very well." Which touched me and cracked me up. And I came home and I told Liza that story. And that's now been 4 years ago. And every night when Liza goes to bed, I say, "So sleep well." And she says,
"And sleep well."
And together we say, "Very well." So I don't know if that's a Buddhist ritual, but it's a family ritual. That came from, it was my way of sharing retreat experience with Liza and having it sort of become something that we shared together. So.
You're listening to a special edition of Change Surfer Radio on contemplative family rituals, recorded at the August 2000 family retreat of the Insight Meditation Society in Barre, Massachusetts. At the end of this program, I will tell you where to find more information about Buddhist meditation and the Insight Meditation Society.
Every time we actually don't do it.
We tried it. We, like, tried holding hands for 10 minutes, closing our eyes.
And just having some silence.
It didn't really become a ritual.
We didn't do it. We don't do it often. We do it when we remember. And sometimes we'll say things that we're grateful for, right? So.
My name's Olivia. Stanley and I have been coming to this retreat for about 8 years, since Sadie was 2, maybe 7 years. And I sort of am mindful, but don't meditate regularly, but keep that. I was thinking for, do you want me to hold this?
Yes.
Dinner time ritual. I sent Sadie to the Waldorf School, and one of the reasons for choosing that for me was this feeling of reverence, which is just very much, and mindfulness, which is often in a lot of the day and the activities. And one of the prayers that I, one of the blessings that I like at meal is that they do, that we do, is dear Son who gave to us this food, Earth who makes it ripe and good, dearest Earth and dearest Son, we not forget what you have done. Blessings on the meal. And I like that mindfulness.
Was that a Steiner? Did Steiner write
I don't know, but I think maybe he did. And the other thing, like I was saying, was Friday night Sabbath, Jewish Sabbath, which we do sometimes, and which I tend to want to feel more as a mindfulness exercise, and sometimes bothers me that we say it in Hebrew, and I'm not quite sure in the meanings, but it's very much for me a bit feeling of being with the moment, with light, with food, with drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's all I can think of.
Good.
Thank you.
Buddham saranam gacchami.
Another thing that we recently started doing was we got a mindfulness bell and put it in a place where any one of us can ring it at any time and just sort of bring us to some quiet. And Liza likes doing it, especially when she's not being paid attention to, or sometimes if things are getting tense between my partner and I, she will sometimes do it, and it's been really great. It's been really, really great. And the other that we also do infrequently, but it's kind of fun when we remember, is every once in a while one of us will suggest that we eat mindfully, and
which means what?
Well, that you chew slowly. And you just be aware of the textures in your mouth and the smell, and you don't talk while you're eating, and to just really fully experience everything about the food, the look of it, the smell of it, the sound of it, the feel of it, the taste of it. And Liza's whispering in my ear, scrambled eggs. We found that eating scrambled eggs mindfully was not a pleasant experience. No. Ice cream was very pleasant. Scrambled eggs were not.
I take refuge in the Dharma, the way of understanding and love. Namo Dharmaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Dharmaya.
Here I am.
Who you are?
Oh, who I am, Alisa. I'm Alisa.
and so you have a family ritual?
A little family ritual we have is we sit together, not at any particular time or any particular place, and we said, let's sit like Buddha. Right, Quentin?
Yeah.
And Quentin puts his... How do you do it? Do you want to show? Puts his hands together mm-hmm. and sits and closes his eyes.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Hello, this is Ellen Clapper, mother of Emma Sarah Clapper, 4 years and 3 months old. And our rituals at home are we try to say a very quick prayer before at least one meal a day. Sometimes we make it to two, sometimes we make it to zero, but we try to stop, pause, close our eyes. Sometimes we do just hold hands and just hold hands and be quiet for a minute. Usually it ends up with, dear God, thank you. And then now we just started something new, which is called turtle time. And you put your fingers down like you're walking turtle. The reverse of, then we do it up, which is the peace symbol. So we do the peace symbol down, which is turtle, which means quiet down. Peace symbol up, which means peace, which means be kind and gentle before we go to sleep for a very, very active four-year-old.
Hi, my name is Janet, and this year I have Zachary, who is 10, and last year we had Adam, who was 15, and Earl, who's my husband, who is 55. And our family rituals include, since we're Jewish, we incorporate Jewish rituals into our family sort of ceremony life. And the main thing that we do is on Friday night we light the candles and we say blessing over the wine and break bread together. And as part of that, we have an energy circle where everybody gets a chance to say something that they're thankful for and appreciative of and something that they're looking forward to. And in the other Jewish life cycle holidays, we also get to do things that are related to the earth. So that's another way that we incorporate these things into our family life.
My name is Beth Roth. I've been practicing meditation for about 15 years and teaching meditation for about 7. I have 2 children. They're 3 and 8 years old. And we do a few little things to try and incorporate some of the principles of this practice. The simplest one is that we have a little meditation bell that stays always on the dinner table, and every night after, when we're getting ready to eat and the food is on the table and everybody's scurrying around, nobody starts eating until everyone has come and sat down, and then we take turns ringing the bell. And while the bell is sounding, everybody's very quiet, usually with their eyes closed and taking a few slow breaths, and then after the sound of the bell has completely died out, we start to eat. Another thing that we do is sometimes when there's an argument, we use kind of a talking stick type of thing, and I might sit down with my son, and he's mad about something, or I'm mad about something, and we have to agree that the other person has to be allowed to finish what they have to say. And we actually use the gong that you ring. This is a large bell. We have a room in the house that's called the meditation room, so we go to the meditation room where there's a bigger bell. And then the gong is the talking stick, so the person, when they're speaking, holds it, and then when they're done, they ring the bell. And when the bell's finished sounding, it's the other person's turn to talk. So we kind of go back and forth like that. Another thing that we do, especially with the children, in the 2 children together, or sometimes with a child and a parent, is every time that they speak in a rude or impatient or nasty or mean way to each other or to one of us, we say, you need to do it again. So instead of just getting mad or saying that's not appropriate, is we start over again. And it might require taking a little bit of a break. You know, if they're crying or they're upset, they might take a break. And then before we do anything else, they've got to come back and redo the situation. So it's like a role play. We actually put, you know, somebody grabbed a toy from someone else. We get them right back together. One who had it has it again. And then the other one has to say very nicely, please give me that. And if the other one doesn't want to, then they need to figure out how to resolve it without fighting or even talking in a nasty voice. Same thing with me and them. The other thing that we do is at bedtime, there's the same 4 little songs. I don't know how to sing at all, but I sing the same 4 little songs every night to each child for years. And one of the songs is a nursery rhyme from South America that is what a parent, if a child might fall down and cut themselves, is the parent, it's like we would say, oh, it's okay, and sort of rub their leg. It's a nursery rhyme that says, get better, little frog's tail. If you don't get better today, you'll get better tomorrow. And so the last song that we sing at night is this song, and the first stanza we sing the way it goes, and then the second or third, however many there are, the other stanzas, the child has the opportunity to make up and tell me what happened that day that needs healing or curing or resolving. And then that becomes the next stanza and the next one until they're done. So it might be something physical, like, you know, they scraped themselves or they got a cut or something, or it might be their feelings are hurt by somebody for some reason, and then they might say that, and we'll sing that one. And then after that, we try and think of one other person who might have something that needs to be healed or cured that day. And
it's like the meta-meditation.
A tiny bit. So, you know, get better, and then say their name and what it is. So they might say, so-and-so, you know, felt terrible when they lost the game at school today. And then, so we don't sing lost the game at school. We just say, that's what happened. And then get better, so-and-so. We hope that your feelings are better, if not today, then tomorrow. So that's a little thing. And then they're all very little things.
Yeah, well, that's the good thing.
Yeah. The other thing is... I have some tapes that are like relaxation meditation tapes for children that I got through the Dharma Crafts catalog. And every once in a while with my older child, when he's very, very upset, it's usually because he's unraveled because he's been up too late and is just fried and exhausted and completely falls apart. If I can't do anything to calm him down, then I'll say to him, I've tried everything. You need to be alone. And then I'll say to him, do you want one of the tapes? And he has many times said yes, and then he'll just put the tape in the tape recorder, and he'll take his blanket on the floor of his room, lie down, and start to play this little relaxation tape for kids. There's a little bit of music, and then tells you to put your hands on your belly and feel your breathing, etc. And then when it's kind of worked through, we usually write or draw about what happened, and then we have a loose leaf binder with separated by different emotions. So there's like a little section for, excuse me, momentito, there's a section for anger, a section for sadness, a section for frustration, like that. And so he might write or draw afterwards what happened and then put it, or draw something and dictate to me to write, and we put it in that section. And then we talk about these very powerful emotions being very much like a stormy weather, and kind of the analogy, which is very much from the meditation practice of but in a child's point of view of when you can see a storm coming and the dark clouds being like the beginning of whatever it is that is about to happen and become out of control, and then it kind of overwhelming you, and then the tears being like the rain, and then the feelings afterwards. And then and so I've talked to Emilio about that, and I tell him that this is what the Buddha said about really difficult emotions, how they come like a huge wave and knock us over, and what it's like when they're coming, when it's very much like a stormy weather. And the last time we talked about this, he thought about it, he says, how come the Buddha knew so much? The other thing is when we go to restaurants and we talk ahead of time about what it's like to go to a restaurant and have to wait for your food. And so sometimes we even call ahead and try and order it, but if we can't. And then Emilio, when he gets really tired of waiting, this happened a couple of times, he says to me, oh, I can't stand it any longer. I've waited as long as I can. So I wasn't giving him a solution, but I just said to him, well, let me see, what would I do if I was feeling like that right now? And he said to me, I know exactly what you would do. And he puts his hands like in a little yoga position on top of the table, closes his eyes, tilts his head up, takes like two breaths, and then he opens his eye, looks at me, goes, hey, it really worked.
I take refuge in the Sangha, the community of mindful harmony.
I'm Lee Odie Krause, and I'm here with James, and that's my husband, and Annika and Metta. Annika's 12, Metta's 10. And how long have we been practicing? When Jose asked me that, I can't even remember. I'm getting old. But, like, we've been trying to go to family retreats ever since they were born. James has been practicing since college, and me probably in my early 30s. I'm 45. We used to do a meal chant, and every time I do something like a family retreat, I go, we got to keep doing that. And they like it. I think they really like it.
I'm Walia Dungan. This is Marissa and George.
And what I'd like for us to do, but we're not always successful at doing, is having gratefulness before our meals when we sit down together, which is not all the time. And we always do metta before Marissa goes to sleep at night. And we actually do a little series of prayers before Marissa goes to sleep. We do metta, we do the Shema, which is a Jewish prayer. We also do a prayer where I pray for protection for her. And I pray for healing for her also.
Are those specifically Buddhist prayers or just...
No, it's actually many, many prayers. The only prayer that's particularly Buddhist is metta. But I don't stop with just metta. I kind of go on and on. And we do that after we've read together. We read at night before she goes to sleep, always.
And then do you have any conflict resolution?
Well, we have to often sit down and have negotiations between the three of us. It's usually when one of us, usually me, demands that certain things be done, and we hit resistance. And then we'll sit down and talk about everybody's feelings and what their feelings are, and how sometimes we're not all paying attention to everybody's feelings.
Great, thanks very much.
My name is Debbie Davis, and my daughter is Linnea Larson. And I've been practicing yoga and meditation, well, yoga for about 15 years, and meditation on and off for about 10. And asked about how we have ritual in our lives. It's pretty ubiquitous, really, in the precepts and the practice of mindfulness. It's pretty constant. But the rituals, which, you know, I would like to do more, actually, but one of them is that before eating, we sit down and we take a moment and we appreciate our food and where it came from, the whole system, like kind of like what Thich Nhat Hanh does. And we also take time every day to appreciate each other, my daughter and I, and some things that we appreciate in our lives.
You've been listening to a special edition of Change Surfer Radio on contemplative family rituals, recorded at the August 2000 family retreat of the Insight Meditation Society in Barre, Massachusetts. The Insight Meditation Society and its adjoining Barre Center for Buddhist Studies offer meditation retreats and classes on Buddhist philosophy year-round. For more information, see the website at www.dharma.org. That's D-H-A-R-M-A. You've been listening to Change Surfer Radio. Change Surfer Radio is produced at WHUS FM at the University of Connecticut in Storrs. If you want to learn more about radical democratic transhumanism, or you want to share your thoughts about this show with me, Dr. J, email me at jhughes@changesurfer.com. That's jhughes@changesurfer.com. Also, check out past and future shows and myriad relevant links at the website, www.changesurfer.com. Previous Change Surfer radio programs can be listened to from www.changesurfer.com and streaming MP3, thanks to the Radio for All project.